Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We're so glad you decided to join us today. My name is Hannah Scorer. I will be leading the service of the Word. Our Reverend Keith Nethery is on vacation this week. Leading music worship this morning is Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovesan, Katie Clark, and of course, as always, Stephen Hollowitz. And as ever, we have our wonderful sound engineer here this morning, John Gardy. Please check out our Sunday school videos for children. They are up in the same link as your Sunday morning service, and I would invite you to prepare yourself for worship. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Romans. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where did all the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Well, what a fun way to end that passage. Gotta love finishing the gospel on a high note. "And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Yikes. That is some heavy stuff Jesus is laying down for us this week. And so, I can understand why so many preachers are going to do what they're going to do, where they slide around this reading to soften up the edges a bit, maybe make it a little more palatable for all of us. Because honestly, do we here in 2020 really think that that's what's going to happen to all those bad weeds out there? Maybe we think they'll be punished. Maybe we think something will happen to them, but most of us don't want to go down into the furnace of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth route. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to be preaching hellfire and damnation this week. I haven't turned into that kind of preacher overnight on you, but I do want to talk about how we treat this parable and others like it, because I think it has something important to say to us today. Here's the story. There's a field, and the owner sows the field with wheat, and someone comes along, everyone's asleep, and throws weeds in the field, and the slaves want to rip up the weeds, but the owner says, "No, we can't destroy the weeds without destroying the new wheat. Not right now, at least. And we have to let them grow together. And when the time is right for the harvest, we will tear out the weeds and harvest the wheat." Now, what we want to automatically jump to, and let's be honest, all you sitting at home listening to me, is what Jesus is saying to us is that we can't always know good from evil. That we have to let people live their lives unmolested and free from our judgment. That the unity of the field is the most important thing, and that tearing out the weeds when we may not even know what weeds are is wrong. We want to make this a strong statement about Jesus warning us from divisiveness and letting opinions separate us. And there will be a lot of preachers out there on Sunday morning who will stand up and tell their congregations that Jesus weeps when we cast out those who have different opinions from us, that we are called to be peaceful and unified, that we are meant to be gentle on others. And to that I say we are all very, very wrong. And I don't say that lightly. And I don't think the words are wrong or the sentiment is wrong. What's wrong is our perspective. Because what we need to ask ourselves here is, when we're thinking of these weeds and the wheat, the people who are bad and the people who are good, who are we picturing? When we interpret this passage this way, who do we think we are in this scenario? What do we think is going on? What are the weeds in our lives? And I think this is so important to ask ourselves, because what we have to take out of this interpretation is our privilege. It's very easy to say we can all just live with bad things when we have the privilege to ignore the consequences. It's very easy to say we should all just live with bad things when bad things will not kill you, or decimate your family, or destroy your life. It is easy to put the surviving off on people who may not actually survive and call it the way of the world. Call it natural. That is the problem of interpreting the Bible through our own lens. Because when Jesus is telling this story to these people, he's not talking to the powerful. He's not talking to the privileged. We say we need unity with the weeds because we don't think we are the weeds, and because really and truly the weeds don't harm us. To the eagle, the owl seems friendly, but to the mouse, it's an entirely different story. Put it this way. We want to be inclusive. We want to be unified. But if we let both wolves and sheep in, we will only have wolves. The smart sheep will stay away, and the naive sheep will get eaten. We aren't meant to live with the weeds forever. That isn't the calling of this passage. We do know right from wrong, good from bad. That isn't what this passage is about. The slaves know the weeds don't belong there. They know what to pull up. We must stop using this passage to justify silencing the marginalized and placing unity with the oppressor over justice. That is not the gospel. The gospel is this. The field is full of wheat and weeds, and we know which are which. But sometimes pulling up the weeds will disrupt a whole bunch of other things. But that doesn't mean the weeds don't have to come up. It means that God is planting a harvest, and it will come in God's time. It means that God is strengthening that wheat, helping it grow, making it fruitful, allowing it to thrive in spite of the weeds, knowing that when the time comes, the weeds will be torn out and the wheat will withstand the harvest. Because what we have to stop thinking about this passage is that it's about punishment. The harvest isn't about punishment. It's about community. It's about hard work and abundance. Getting rid of weeds don't lessen the harvest. We are approaching harvest time. Everything that has been happening in the last few months has shown us how many problems exist for those who don't have the wealth or the power or the privilege. And the time to root out the weeds in our own hearts has come. To weed out hate and apathy, ignorance and greed, selfishness and entitlement. They have grown alongside our best instincts, but they are not part of God's abundance. The time has come for harvest, my brothers and sisters, for a hard-won community and a yield that we can all share. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gathered as the Church of God, members of the body of Christ, let us pray together. Fill your church, O Lord, with life and energy, spiritual health and vitality. As we feed on you, may we grow more like you. May we exercise your loving ministry with your tenderness, serve with your humility, and cooperate with your vision. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. Fill your world, O Lord, with wonder at creation, recognition of our mutual human responsibility, desire for reforming what is at fault, and hope in the possibilities of living at peace with God and with one another. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. Fill our homes and neighborhoods, O Lord, with the generosity and trust that allows space, but is always ready to encourage and support. May we cherish our bodies, minds, and spirits as temples containing your spirit, and honor one another as people of your making. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. We pray for all who are ill at home or in hospital, for all in emergency surgery or in casualty, for those who have just discovered that they have injuries or illnesses that will change their lives. We pray for the work of all who heal and comfort, all who visit the sick and counsel the distressed. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. We pray for those dying and those who love them. We pray for those who have completed this life and have made the journey through death. We pray for the work of those who comfort the bereaved. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with thankfulness and praise as we recall your faithfulness and live in your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Could tell the world just one thing, it would be we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. I'll gather myself. I'm not. heartache came to visit me, but I knew it wasn't ever after. We'll fight, not out of spite, for someone to stand up for what's right. 'Cause where there's a man who has no voice, there are shadows singing. My hands are small, I know, but they're not yours, they are my own. But they're not yours, they are my own, and I am never broken. In the end, only kindness matters. In the end, only kindness matters. I will get down on my knees, and I will pray. I will get down on my knees, and I will pray.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.